From the All-Ireland Business Foundation, this is Elaine Carl bringing you AIBF Business Talk. AIBF is an independent national body tasked with enterprise development and the promotion of best-in-class businesses as business all-stars. Today, I catch up with Ronan Galvin of the Creamery Cafe, located just opposite the scenic promenade in Salt Hill, County Galway. Ronan has operated this business in this location for the past 18 years. Along with having owned and operated restaurants and mobile catering businesses in other areas of Galway. From his catering management college years in Birmingham, the UK, to managing a 200-seat brew pub restaurant for many years in Boston's Back Bay, Ronan has developed an eye for what makes an operator successful in this challenging industry. Ronan, thank you so much for joining me on AIBF Business Talk today. Ronan, Galway man, an awful lot goes on behind the scenes at the Creamery Cafe. Tell us exactly, you're not just a cafe, there's an awful lot more involved.
There is certainly, Elaine. The Creamery has a multi-faceted things going on. When I was coming up the logo, I came up with a cafe, ice cream parlor, bistro, just to put a quick synopsis to what's going on. There is a bit of a food emporium here. The concentration has been on to provide people an experience of something to come out for, to come down the prom, to come across something that's healthy, tasty, and that's presented in a nice, clean, open, and welcoming environment.
So when you say the prom, that's Salt Hill, isn't it?
The prom of Salt Hill, exactly, the promenade. So we refer to, yeah. So the promenade of Salt Hill, along by the walk along by the seafront, would be the big attraction for people to come out to Salt Hill. So the Creamery Cafe has been here for actually the past 18 years. I've been in business here, but about 2 years ago, I evolved into a fairly big operation where I now produce my own ice cream on site. I've now a SoJuice, producing fresh juices on site also, and also an extensive kitchen and an 80-seater dining area, and a 20-seater outside area. So it is an extensive business here on the promenade.
Absolutely, and look, you're in business nearly two decades, so I'm sure that the last 18 to 20 months have been a little bit challenging. But again, you mentioned a bit of a diversification down into the ice cream route. How did that come about?
Based on being in Salt Hill on the promenade, you need to have ice cream, definitely. So I had the location was right for that. I have a passion for making, creating a product, and the ice cream and gelato making obviously involves that. And then being able to create my own flavors and customize different stuff, and be able to offer, like I said earlier, be able to offer people something different if they're going to walk into other stores, everybody's serving the similar, then there isn't an attraction. But being able to make your own ice cream and gelato, and to work with the various suppliers that I have, mainly coming from Italy, home of obviously great ice cream that I've been able to offer a diverse range and tastes and choices there.
And before the Creamery Cafe was born, you know, and you got into the line of, you know, producing ice cream and the gelato ice, did you have a background yourself in food?
I would have a background in chef trained in the States, and did a hotel and catering management degree in Birmingham, actually, which is at the College of Food there, which obviously very 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 food orientated and whatnot. And my own background is as a child growing up on a farm where homegrown food and having food from fork to table was a big at the time, so that's how I've always been involved with food and been involved.
So you knew where the raw ingredients always come from.
Correct, kind of, exactly.
It brings down, it's always something is always rooted, you know, in somebody's childhood like that.
Correct, and it was, you know, we were obviously very fortunate to have such a great range of what would be almost organic food at this point, because we did grow and have a lot of our own vegetables and beef and stuff. But so that's been my background in food. I've always been involved, I guess, of food and at some level. Obviously, then in the marketing and things growing up, we did a lot of the markets selling our produce. at the time, carrots and cabbage and potatoes. So I had interest in there in the next level of where dealing with the, you know, dealing with the customer and selling on, and the buzz of that, and the buzz of being in business, in arriving at the market with your trailer load in the morning and selling your, and going home with your cash load at the end of the day was a great satisfying feeling. So that certainly planted a seed to grow.
So entrepreneurialism was in you from a very young age, like that. So, and do you know what, Ronan, I can really, I suppose, resonate with that coming from a farming background myself, and knowing that, you know, the from the farm to fork type scenario as well. And it gives you an appreciation as well for it, you know.
But sure.
As well as that, you know, I hear as well, Ronan, that, look, you know, I think it was a Churchill that said, never waste a good crisis. So you've been very busy behind the scenes as well in the last year. Tell us about some exciting plans that you have.
Yeah, so my plans that I briefly mentioned there, last year I did, based on people's changing eating habits, growing obviously in health foods, or organic foods, vegetarianism, the whole soy juice idea was born. I had space. I had to change my business to a lot more takeout offering, it meant I had actually some space I could afford to give over to that in the business. So I decided to launch a brand called Soy Juice, and that's been launched at the moment. The website's been done up for that. So my plan there is so people can order that online, order juice plans, and that's there. And I think I can already see great benefit out of it, even initial benefits out of it, and that'll complement kind of the current offering also that I have. Obviously, also plans to look at the gelato side of things. I currently have supply two smaller gelato bars in Galway, and they have loved my product. And I would perhaps look at how I develop that end of the production. And so I see a huge opportunity there to have. Maybe to scale up a retail offering as well. Irish people, we do love our ice cream. We're actually one of the per capita biggest consumers of ice cream in the world.
Wow, I never knew that.
Yeah, no, we are. We're up there, I think, near the top 10 or in the top 10.
And it's not as if we've got the warmest climate either.
Correct. No, but we do. It is. But obviously a huge amount of our ice cream is eaten in the 99 in the soft ice cream format. But I see a huge opportunity there. It's only when I visit some local kind of even tourist locations here that I see ice cream brands from England and Spain and around Europe, and I was like thinking, God, if and in a tourist locations and we're serving them ice cream from not even Irish, that there's a huge opportunity there to develop that. So that's something I would have great plans to develop.
Because that's really complementary. It's
correct.
Really complementary to your thing, and it's only scaling up really, isn't it? Just increasing in terms
exactly,
of volume.
Yeah, because the juices and all that stuff, that all lends to use. You can, in gelato, you can use anything to make ice cream, basically. You can make any flavor of ice, but juices and all that organic and all that kind of stuff lends itself into that. And non-dairy ice cream as well, to developing opportunities there within like sorbets and non-dairy based ice creams as the new coconuts and oat milks develop. There's opportunities there now to actually make more.
Well, if you're ever looking for an objective taster, Ronan, I'll happily volunteer my services. And there's no problem at all. I can bring my four kids with me as well. They're very partial to it. But just go back to the juicing side of things, because I'm very interested in that. Look, I'm a busy working mother of four kids. I like to juice, but I know the headache that it brings with us. Not only having all the right ingredients and juices, but the bloody mess it makes as well behind. So
correct.
It's very interesting. Think that potentially you brought a solution, but I am conscious as well that juices have a shorter life, you know, shelf life. So how do you plan really on getting to market with your juices?
Yeah, well, the online through social media platform would be my main getting to market. And my plan for the soy juice, you bring up a good point there, where the offering I type iron would be fairly close to production, if you want to call that. So the juices have the nutrients and haven't lost any value in that level. And people that are becoming more educated and aware of that aspect of stuff that the juice, you know, drunk or consumed closest to when it's actually being made, is going to have the most nutrient value and going to have the most benefit to you. So as I said earlier, we're becoming a more of aware, health conscious society, and with disposable income as well, that market is looking for that. And I think that, so that'll be the edge, the unique selling point it will have over buying a commercial juice on a shelf or whatever. And that takes, but it takes a little bit of customizing and bespoke kind of ordering as well. So yeah, so people, you can also put up if people have a certain desire for a certain, you know, juice, that we can actually make those to order for them once we're given the online order ahead of time. So there's a bit of this lovely opportunity there on a scale. It won't be, I don't think it'll ever be a massive scale, but I think it's on a, mm-hmm. given the neighborhood I'm in here, given the access and transport and the type of a footfall I'd have in my area, that I think it's an opportunity that
yeah, because look, you know your customer, and you know you've done the market research through your other endeavors as well. Look, you know, Ron, it's evident that the business really has evolved since its inception back nearly two decades ago. Can I ask, did you take any inspiration from anybody?
I guess when I get asked that question, the first person that popped into my mind will be my dad, no doubt about it. Like I said earlier, growing up on a farm, that was he was a man that taught with the times and moved with the times a little bit in farming and stuff, and sure, introduces to, like I was just talking about, you know, vegetable growing and having good product and looking for ideas and how to, you know, best farm and everything else. So my dad would be my biggest influence. Of people that are in mm-hmm. business currently, sure. There's a number. I definitely be. We're at the talk recently with Sean Gallagher. I loved his attitude. I love the mm-hmm. The ideas he has put forward, and what he's done. Obviously, there's other bigger ones. We wish we're flying them more often. It was for Michael O'Leary and everything else. But, you know, there's certainly no, I mean, as Irish people, I mean, on a smaller note, there would be people that I've worked with, chefs, mm-hmm. throughout, where just seeing the type of work and the type of talent that people have. And yeah, it's mm-hmm. There may not be anybody having maybe exceptional overall skills, but I think individually, there are certain people along my path that have influenced me with the types of talent and skill that they have had.
You know, and it's fantastic that that you've got that exposure as well, because you did mention that you went to the college in the UK and all of that.
Yeah.
You know, you've obviously come across, you know, some challenges along the way. There's no smooth, it's ever without its road sure. bumps. You know, what has been some of those challenges, or maybe your biggest challenge that you've met?
Well, there was a point where, yeah, when I got into the cafe business initially, I entered through franchising. I took a franchise with the business I'm familiar with. Yes, it was a good introduction. However, you know, I decided to expand on 2 and 3 units, and I did open the second and third units, and they became real challenges. When I opened second and third, and then you were spacing out your time and having to deal with the operational stuff on a day-to-day basis, that was a learning experience. And that, you know, it might seem I got busier. Yeah, it looks like I was making progress opening the second and third cafes, but there was a lot more pulling out from behind the scenes that actually I figured after a while that it I was better off actually doing less and doing more of the one. And that's where I've kind of the matter of health, I sold on those businesses and came back and reconcentrated on the creamery here. And reconcentrate on expanding this business, and that's been I think it's taking when you do step out and dip the toe in fresh waters, that it opens up a whole new set of challenges and risks, and obviously
and that's, you know, a very good point as well, because there's obviously going to be listeners on here today, you know, that find themselves being extremely busy. And often, you know, I think of the thing that, you know, sometimes we can just get too busy. And sometimes if we just kind of realize that and say, hang on here, where is my focus? What do I really want to do? Where do I want my quality of time and effort and energy? Because the number one failure for, you know, the number one reason for any business failure is actually burnout of the owner, you know, manager or director.
Right.
So it's fantastic that you actually had that foresight, say, hang on here, maybe I don't need all this. Maybe I am too busy. And maybe if I narrow focus back, you know, and fine tune what I have here in the creamery bar, that you actually had more by having less in a roundabout way.
Yeah. And as you know, and we've experienced the different people that found like the burnout and unfortunately left business or moved on different ways. That was a learning curve. That, yeah, it's sometimes, I do remember someone you know, small is beautiful. Also, you know, that it doesn't necessarily need to be, you know, having one unit and doing it really well would be a huge achievement. It would be a huge achievement if it moves on to 2 and 3 and 5 and 10 units, great. But I think, you know, the important thing is, you know, making sure that the space you are in is working well. And this is where I've said, you know, maximize what I am doing rather than, let's say, open up a second unit and maybe do it as a sow juice, whatever. Like, there was opportunity to put that within the current business. So let's try it out here, you know, see, work out the kinks and then go on. So I've got a bit wiser on that front of things. Where
I thought you were going to say got a bit older and wiser, but no, just older, wiser. Just the wiser would do. But as well as that, I suppose, you know, the advent of the last number of years has really brought to fore that we don't just need bricks and mortar shop fronts. We can actually have an online site as well. And that's like having another shop or another route to market. So how you've embraced that in your own business is admirable as well.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. And that's where it's consideration for my business at the moment. My kitchen, I don't do a lot of food after 6 o'clock here at the moment, but and as a consideration, do I sublease that out or do I give someone else? Because that's going to be something that's coming down the tracks of where you're going to get businesses subletting mm-hmm. some of the infrastructure that they have to maybe, you know, let another brand grow out of it, because with the whole online and delivery and take out offering that's there.
That's great thinking. But as well as that, I suppose it opens up other opportunities for other people that might be at a more startup space rather than the heavy investment in all of the equipment and infrastructure.
Sure, exactly. And maybe just a startup and a leg up to them to get started, because there's a huge investment and obviously huge regulation of it goes into, you know, having a food business and having a food production kitchen for this particularly is huge regulation around that, and it needs a lot of investment to get that little regulation, you know, set it.
Ron, it's obvious that you're very forward thinking, you know, because coming from the boy that was in the market yard selling the heads of cabbage and the onions and whatnot and potatoes to where you are now, what would you see as having been your key strengths that helped you along the journey?
I think it's like, obviously self-belief would be a huge one, but you know, I definitely listened as well along the way, to, like I said earlier, listen to what there's other great people sometimes out there greater than yourself, you know, listen to what they have to say. I think that's been a kind of a key point. And just that bit of self-belief that, you know, to weather out the storm, like going back to my dad, he would have said, you know, there'll be ups and downs in business. And I always said that. And, you know, I remember, you know, years where we couldn't sell a bag of potatoes for a euro. And I remember another year there were 12, well, in all money, 12 pounds, remember, where at one point bags of potatoes went up the following year because there was some blight. So, you know, there'll be ups and downs in business. So, that it's to weather that down. And obviously we're being tested more at the moment in the current environment. So yeah, it's to weather those downs would be a huge lesson. I know that there will be enough.
It's coming. We can see it.
Yeah.
Ronan, just what advice from your own experience now, right? As to, you know, having grown the business, you know, expanded, maybe shrank back a little, focusing on other avenues. What advice would you give to our listeners here today, you know, who are in another Irish business from your experience?
I think to believe that, like, as an Irish product that we're producing, Irish, we have an ingrained kind of quality, and people reflect on the Irish produce as being fantastic. I think so. I think that's a great opportunity. There's great opportunity there to believe that we have great raw material here. Because I have worked and lived around the world and 3 or 4 different countries, and I can definitely appreciate that. As regarding, you know, there's getting into business and operating a business. Yeah, it's, you know, more about you have to work with that few team. It doesn't need to be a huge team. I would have 2 to 3 people that are really great at what they do. I can rely on them with confidence. So yeah, that's taken me a while to form that. You know, small team. I employ 30 staff overall, but my core team needs to be really believing in what I'm doing here, and that I've been looked fortunate enough to be able to put that team together.
So what do you do to get that team spirit, to get that team to click that team? Is,
obviously, it's your own. I think keeping them involved and stuff that I'm doing, talking about just what I've spoken about earlier, the plans up ahead, keeping them interested in where this business can get to, because they have, you know, desires and wishes and dreams and ambitions as well. So they, you know, keeping them involved as to what this probably can attain here. And of course, you know, they're not going to stay with you forever and move on. But I've always would have said to people, like, you know, make it time well spent when you come work here. All my staff was that, you know, even if you're coming to wash dishes or whatever else, you know, make it a good experience. You'll have responsibility, you'll be given chores, you know, make it a good opportunity for yourself. Learn from it. Like, so I've always taken that approach with my staff, that, like, you know, this, it's, and it's great here in the venue I have, that there is different things going on. Like I said, you can learn about ice cream, about juices, about coffees, about food. There's a lot of different things they can do here, and learn about here, service and just dealing with public. And, you know, there's a lot of multi skills that they actually subconsciously can even learn here. So that's, I would always say that to staff, new hire staff that I hire, look at this, there's the opportunity here will be kind of a little bit of what you make it. There's a lot to learn here, particularly for new inexperienced coming in. But it's fantastic if you apply yourself and, you know,
yeah, so that's an openness.
That's where the business gets back as well. Once they apply themselves and they're enjoying it, so I would value that, that then the business will benefit as well from their enthusiasm and their want to get ahead.
So it's obvious that you really enjoy what you do. You know, I can hear that passion coming through in you, and I can feel that being instilled down into your team as well. So yeah. No wonder your team is working so good. And on that note, Ronan, it's no wonder that you've recently been bestowed with the honour of being 2 in a row Business All-Star accreditee. How does that make you feel, or what does that mean for you and for your business?
Oh, it's like I said, it's fantastic. The consistency, it shows the consistency of my product there, of my offering. It shows that, you know, there's the spotlight again is, you know, puts a little spotlight back on you to keep going and perhaps improve as well. Like, we're never, you know, there's never a dull moment. So that would be, yeah, to attain it again for next year and hold on to it. So that's what it would mean to me.
Excellent. Ronan, I just want to get our listeners to get to know Ronan a little bit better. So we're going to lift the bonnet of the car. I'm going to fire a couple of, you know, quick questions to you. Don't think too long and too hard. So just answer me with the first thing that comes into your head, Ronan, all right? Ronan, perfect. What's your most cherished possession?
My wedding ring.
Your wedding ring? Nice, yes. One. If you, do you want to expand on that, or?
No, it's just, I think your partner in life and family and friends, you know, is hugely important as part of going through business as well. Because a lot of things we think of business as being cold and numbers and about brands, etc. But I think, you know, they're, at the end of the day, they're about people and those people behind them. And that's
100%. And none of us could do, I think, what we're doing business without the support of our family and everybody that's behind the scenes. Yeah. You know, there's always a lot of, you know, there's a lot of pictures that people see at the front, but there's a lot of cobwebs behind the pictures that are really egging us all on. Ronan, if you could send some advice back in time to your 20-year-old self, what wisdom would you share?
My main wisdom would be, yeah, having that little bit of confidence in your conviction and what you think. I was told at one point when I was about 20-year-old, Ronan, just to believe in, like, by a chef, was that, Ronan, you've got great plans, just believe in yourself. And you could probably see that in where I didn't have that self conviction, but that really has stuck with me. And when he wrote that down in my reference, Ronan just needs to believe in himself a bit more, and he will do great things. So that's been one of those things. It's just that little bit. I guess, you know, it just comes, maybe we're coming from the background like that, we weren't as, like, shouter. We found it more difficult to kind of shout your praises and be so a little bit. It's no harm to do that at times and be proud of what you achieve. And says commit to your conviction, what your gut feeling. If it's sound and based on a good judgment, then it's probably not bad to go with. So yeah.
Yeah, that's great advice, to commit to your conviction. I like that one. I think I'm going to really take a mental note of that one. Ronan, tell me something that most people wouldn't know about you.
I've got a plaque for badminton.
Very good. You never know.
Who plays badminton anymore?
Like,
I have a big trophy.
Good stuff. So the winning instinct is coming out with you. Ronan, when you were younger, what did you want to be when you grew up?
Actually, I wanted to be a truck driver to travel the world. I thought it'd be fantastic to be able to travel around Europe and see your, I still love Europe. I love going to France and Spain and Italy and all those, Germany. And for some reason I wanted to be a truck driver. So whenever we used to hitch lifts, one time we used to hitch from Galway to my hometown, it was always great to get a lift with a truck driver and find out his story.
Excellent. If you could have a dinner party with any four people, Ronan, who would you invite?
It's definitely a great question. I'd probably have to invite my wife, wouldn't I? Otherwise the first question would have but people that influences along our way. Like I said, I've had a great chef trainer that I worked with in Bill Bailey was his name, and he after that singer or the comedian guy from the, but he was a great teacher to me, and he was a guy I would love to bring him later again and now show. But there's like I said, people I mentioned earlier would be a bit of an influence.
Yes, so I'm wondering.
I certainly want people there that are a bit of crack.
I have to ask you a question. You said you'd like to bring that chef Bill Bailey with you. So would you be cooking for Bill Bailey to let him see how far you've come on, or would you just enjoy his company?
I would enjoy his company, probably both to some degree. Yeah,
Oh, I like that challenge.
Yeah.
Ronan, if you had a motto in life to sum it all up, what would that be?
Yeah, sorry, I haven't thought this one through a little bit, but like, not over expecting, you know, there's a lot to be achieved from the small things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, celebrate the small wins.
Because I think that, as we know from people that have gone on and become famous, it's not everything. I mean, obviously, I know there's a great story there, or researching into people that have won the lotto and stuff and how happy they are later after they've done that. A lot of them are not that exceedingly happy. So yeah, I think it's to celebrate those small wins. As my mum would always say, people have nice houses, but whether they're homes or not is another thing, you know. So have the home, have a nice home, have a good business, you know. It doesn't, whether it's a house with, you know, how many pillars, doesn't, it might look like a nice house, but you know, make it a nice home, and that would be the important thing. So the small wins.
There's a great sense of being grounded in reality, and that, Ronan, I know that my lips are waiting at the thoughts of a nice ice cream strolling along the promenade in Salt Hill. But if anybody wants to get, you know, to pop into the Creamery Cafe, if you could just share once again with our listeners where they can find you, where they can get to taste this lovely ice cream, and how potentially they can get their hands on Soul Juice.
Yeah, so the Creamery Cafe, Gelato Bar is based, we're here actually at the midway point of the Wild Atlantic Way, which, believe it or not, is right across the road, the official midway point for the Wild Atlantic Way here in Salt Hill, on the promenade in Salt Hill. So definitely people have no problem finding Salt Hill once they come down to Galway. It's well signposted all the way around. So Juice operates obviously within the Creamery Cafe building at the moment, and that you'll find that colourful and lovely fresh juice there gleaming at you once you walk in the door.
Looking forward to my Christmas healthy detox. I can start with the ice cream, walk along the promenade, and then come back and fool myself with a healthier option.
Have the fresh air and then take down a nice take the ice cream home, and you can have that even later on. So there's multiple choices there.
Good stuff, Ronan. It's been an absolute pleasure talking to you today. I wish you and all your family, of the very best for the future, especially with your new range coming out, and to all the team as well at the Creamery Cafe, compliments on your 2 in a row Business All-Star achievement. Well done. Thank you for listening to AIBF Business Talk today. I really do hope you enjoyed listening in. To find out more about the All-Ireland Business Foundation and the work that we do, especially the Business All-Stars programme, just go to www.aibf.ie. Remember, never put off until tomorrow what you can do today. Until next time, from your host, Elaine Carroll. Goodbye.